One time, two times. Robert has lots of thoughts and likes to share them off the air. But then when I turn to him, he denies he ever said them. Cue the sniper girl. I wanna take you around the whole world, and with your inner saboteur, they don't know what this gun is for. It's your cue the sniper girl. Leland and Freddy, everybody. Cue the sniper girl. And also the guy, Lucian Piani, too. He's right there doing drugs in the corner. Anyway, hi, we have with us the beautiful, the tanned, the intelligent, the not contrarian, Roberto Mata. Hello, Robert, you
know,
Mata.
My first instinct was to say, you know, I am a little contrarian sometimes.
No, Robert, you're very contrarian. You and I even had a private phone call about this where I explained my theory about why you're so contrarian.
I know, and I was able to rebut that theory immediately by telling you that I think that you have a very binary perspective of what's right, wrong, and how a conversation should flow, and I'm more open-minded than you, Mama. Sorry.
You're the kind of person who probably thinks Saphir won the lip sync.
You know, are you some kind of fortune teller? Because I have had theories of that school of thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll find out today when we talk about it. But that's not what we're going to talk about right here at the top. We're going to talk, first of all, as always, I'm going to give the Patreon plug. Guys, Patreon, so fucking good this week. So good. So good. And you know what? Not to be Jennifer Lopez with, you know, ham and cheddar on a roll.
Let's
with,
get that.
Ham and cheese on a roll with the orange drink, if you know, you know. But there is an if you know, you know this week. If you know, you know about how good Afterthought Media is. But patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia, like I said before, you know, if you want to try executive tier where you get this show early with no commercials, executive tier, you get 7 days free. Check it out. You know, if you want to try exclusive tier, see what they get there. Try it out. Free for a week. It's all over at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. But before we do that, let's talk to my Monday boyfriend. We're only boyfriends on Mondays for a couple hours, maybe hour or two, but he's the one, the only Mr. Roberto Mata. How are you?
I'm swell. I'm kicking.
How was your weekend?
It was lovely. I did something this weekend I haven't done in a long time, and usually after you do that, you have a really rough next day, but I've had the most amazing afterglow. I love life. Driving my new car. I love my little fuckboy car.
I'm trying to figure out. Wait, that was very cryptic. It could be sex. No,
if you know,
and
you
it
know.
It could be drinking. Or could it both?
Well, I'll leave you to figure that out.
It was probably.
But actually, my Easter was great too. He definitely was risen that day.
Yeah. Okay. It was a great weekend. He fucked somebody. I don't know who it was. Hopefully, it wasn't.
Why would you feel bad the day after fucking? Actually, I told you I'm not going to use the F-bomb as often today, and you're making me do it.
No, you didn't tell us. You said that on an unreleased part of the show.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. I'm speaking about future Robert.
Yeah. Okay. No, not even future Robert. Unknown Robert.
Oh. Multiversal.
Yeah. The multiverse Robert. But, guys, let me tell you this. Let me answer your question. If you bottomed and the guy was, you know, pretty aggressive, you could be walking funny for a couple of days.
Well, I already walk funny. I think I'm much like Nathan and Saphira, a little slew-footed myself. You know, I kind of waddle a bit. And I mean, like everything else about me, it for some reason makes me look somehow like more of an unapproachable asshole. But what can you do?
What assholes are approachable?
Really nice round ones.
You know, a few weeks ago, you and I were talking and I said, oh, there's this guy I know and he doesn't, he's a gay, but he doesn't like dicks and assholes and stuff like that, right? And he was so angry. He called me.
Oh, why? I mean, that's a perfectly valid way of navigating sexuality.
And he goes, no, because he wanted me to make it clear that even though he doesn't like assholes, he can appreciate a man's ass.
Yeah.
I don't know why he needed this known publicly, but he did. Anyway, Robert Mata, you know what we're going to, so let me let everybody know. Robert and I, let you know the secret. We've already recorded a panel discussion that's going to happen after the break about the latest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race with some very wonderful people, Najima, Scott, and Ramcharan. And you're going to hear them after the break. But what Robert and I are going to do now is we're going to talk about UK versus the World 2, the season finale. And Robert, I got to tell you something.
Oh.
This reminded me not only that UK versus the World 2 happened, but it reminded me of my experience with season 2 of the flagship show.
Oh, she's angry.
Yeah, in that, you know, I usually watch it on Mondays when we record.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday, it was leaked, not leaked, but it was spoiled everywhere on Reddit that Tia Coffey won.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did Tia Coffey win, but she won against Hannah Conda in a lip sync battle, which meant to me, like, what? How were they even in contention for the crown? How was it not obviously Marina versus Le Grand Dame? And I was so angry, Robert, so angry.
Oh my God.
By choice. By choice. It wasn't lack of anything. By choice, I refused to watch the episode. I haven't watched the episode, and I won't watch the episode.
Girl, why would you admit that?
Why? I'm telling you, I was so angry.
Because if I was an audience member who has been loyal and listening to your show for a while, I would be rolling my eyes saying, like, why do I want to listen to anything this bitch has to say if we can't even
because
watch
I'm
the episode?
I'm
going to
talk to the person who did. Because I don't have to watch it, Robert. I have my thoughts. How did Marina Diamond...
That Summers, name? Girl. You're oh, thinking Marina of Marina Summers. And the Diamonds.
How old? Okay.
2012.
Okay.
Fucking living
forgot.
In the state
I
of dreaming.
I took a time machine.
Yeah,
you know this.
You're giving a 19-year-old breakup.
Yeah. And I was like, the flux capacitor I set to like 2024.
Ooh.
But Marina Summers, how the fuck did she... There's no way I want to even see a world... where she is not the winner. And I've already seen things on this Reddit where they're like, that the show cut out some sickening moves that she made during the performance to make it even seem more unbalanced and why she would lose. What are your thoughts about this, Robert? Tell me about the episode. Tell me everything you think.
So it's very fortuitous that I happened to take notes this episode because it was a finale and I've actually rather enjoyed the season. I know that we tend to diverge and talk nonsense about all the other kinds of bullshit and we'd have to compress it, but I've loved this season. I've loved all of this season, to be clear, and I love Tia Coffey. And
weird
to say, shut your bitch ass up, to say from right off top, I'm glad Tia Coffey won. Would I have been happy if Hannah Conda won? Yes. Would I have been happy if Marina Summers won? Yes. Would I have been happy if Le Grand Dame won? Yes. I would have been happy for any of them, and I'm therefore still happy. But I can still, in, I guess, is it even good faith? In some vaguely ambiguous sense of faith, discuss what you think is the greatest robbery of our time.
I think it's the, look, I mean, Tia Coffey, look, because Robert, I'll tell you what, I don't even care now, but it's what's become clear, this is the second UK versus the World 2.
Mm-hmm.
The last time the winner was this blue something or other.
Hydrangea.
Blue Hydrangea. She was horrible. She wasn't good.
You love hydrangeas?
This show means nothing. It's clear, like, because it's produced by the BBC, they feel this obligation that a person from the UK has to win this thing. There is no other way to explain why Tia Coffey won the whole thing, and it was so slanted toward her the entire season. Thank you. Do you agree with anything I said?
Well, like I said up at the beginning of the show, I don't know about this like binary, like, yes, Tia Coffey deserved to win versus Tia Coffey was dragged to the end and didn't deserve anything. I think there's a healthy middle ground here that, you know, is probably the truth of things. I think that Tia Coffey did perform well most of the season. I thought that, granted, a couple of her wins were questionable and that beginning talent show was not the business. But as she got comfortable, she clearly was performing quite well, if maybe not the best, because there's no doubt Marina Summers was and is such a powerhouse that if all things were equal on the last day of filming, Marina probably would have won. But the song choice that she was going against with Hannah, it just wasn't up her alley, I think. There was an element of campness to it that Hannah Conda was able to infuse into her performance with, admittedly, with props, with the microphone and sunglasses, which I don't necessarily take as a bad thing, because Hannah performed well with it and really embodied the song and killed it. Marina was doing her tricks, which are always amazing and always great. It just didn't seem to necessarily fit that lip sync number. And I don't think that I'm a fool who is just submitting to the edit. I don't think so. Other people can disagree. Obviously, several do, because people are mad and people are going to remain mad. Maybe you should take like 5 minutes from your day and watch the final lip sync with Tia Coffey and Hannah Conda, because it's really just a fun, camp, silly. It's cute. They're having a good time. It's like a graduation day fucking, these damn F-bombs. It's just cute.
Why do you want to stop cursing? What is this?
Oh, I was listening back last week and I was I was just hearing myself say fuck probably every other sentence. And
what do you do in real life?
I say fuck every other sentence, but that's, you know, I could be a little classier for the microphone. What if there are children listening, Josito?
So you're saying I should watch the whole...
Watch it on double speed as you do.
No, I don't watch the lip syncs that way.
I know, but you can watch this one on double speed because you'll get the gist. They do a number of clearly pre-planned duo moves, and then there's this really cute moment that Tia Coffey has with one of the eliminated queens, and it's a celebration of everything that's happened on the season in a variety of franchises thus far. It's like a great capstone of a lip sync. I can't wait to rewatch it, actually.
All right, so I'm looking at Hannah Conda right now, and I'm not gonna do it with sound. I'm gonna do it with sound off.
Well, okay. I mean,
Okay, so Tia Coffey's like on the phone.
Change it to "We Can't Be Friends" by Ariana Grande.
Hannah Conda is giving us some space Patti LuPone realness.
Can Patti LuPone sing in space?
But I don't disagree that Tia Coffey would win this lip sync. She's giving buffoonery though so far. Oh, Hannah Conda with a reveal. And Tia Coffey's doing a spin.
I will confess that the entire season watching Tia Coffey lip sync, at the end of every lip sync, I asked myself, is this really the girl that beat Astina Mandela in a lip sync to Dua Lipa? Very surprising stuff. I don't know what happened there.
I looking at this, I don't know what the argument you're making is, because to me right now, Hannah Conda is winning this lip sync.
They're just having a gay old time together.
They are having a gay old time together.
It was. I think it was a foregone conclusion. I'm just not as angry about it.
So how would you feel if Q won the entire season?
Well, I already think I'm probably not going to go back and rewatch 16, because every time Q gets a confessional or any kind of focus on the episode, I have to either mute the television or play Octopath on my phone. I just can't. It's gotten ugly in the Robert Mata.
Well, Robert, apartment. You just have to get over it. I just don't get it. Like, why are you so pressed?
It nails on a chalkboard, girl. And it's in the, like, the, oh my, I can't even begin on that. Let's focus on the matter at hand. Although I will say, I had the same feelings for Lucy LaDuca last season. And now that I don't have to watch her every week, I mean, I guess I don't have to watch anyone every week, but now that she's not on the show every week, I've very much softened my opinion of her. And I wonder if in a few months' time, I will similarly soften on Q.
Who would you put in a cringe season? So you're going to have Lucy LaDuca, you're going to have Q.
What kind of cringe? Because those aren't fun cringe. I would like a good...
Not fun cringe.
Oh, yeah.
What's the one who grabbed her glasses between the thing? Jasmine Dior Fierce. Is she on a not fun cringe? Is she cringe?
Oh, Jaden? I don't think Jaden was ever cringe, but I never thought that she was like a contender. But I don't think she ever did anything bad.
Alexis
say
Michelle?
Tina Burner.
Oh, Tina Burner.
Who I actually enjoyed myself, but I recognized that not everything was great either.
I wonder why
you
enjoyed her.
Girl, she had an old school drag style that I think I am more, you know, naturally inclined to. But let's see. I put Silky Ganache. The way that she in the Canada versus the world is always trying to like lead everyone in prayer and like be like the spiritual leader of the group is always like, girl, just stop making this a thing. That was cringe to me. Alexis Michelle's absolutely on that season. Why can't we have a fun cringe season though? With like you
be on the fun cringe season.
Like Yuha, Laganja, a mandatory meeting. Madame LaQueer. Madame LaQueer's uncle.
Porkchop?
Was Porkchop ever cringe?
You know what? I misspoke. I didn't mean Porkchop. I meant Penetration.
Just for the gag of it, because where the hell has that queen been?
Like you, her name never even comes up in conversation.
Not even in jokes. Like it's that must be such a niche thing for fans of, like, let's say who joined us in season 10, season 12. Yeah. They're like, who on God's green earth is Lalisa Summers? And it's like, girl, that's a queen for every season, don't you know? Oh, Venus Delight would, I think she could be on both cringe seasons.
Well, what about Magnolia Crawford? Which cringe season would
all
she
seasons.
Be on?
I've watched that bitch on every season.
All right. Well, that's very good. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? When we come back, we are going to bring on our special panelists who are vying for a chance. I don't know why they would want to be a co-host on RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. We'll be back right after this.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, I got to get something off my chest. By the time I finish watching RuPaul's Drag Race two times, recording two different shows about it, and spending my entire week around RuPaul's Drag Race, the last thing I want to do is listen to other podcasts about RuPaul's Drag Race. But people are constantly saying, do you listen to this podcast or that podcast? And I'll be honest with you, I don't, because I barely have time to record the one that I do. And this sits on me, on my chest. So I have to get it off my chest because I'm like, is this hindering my growth as a creator? So I'm glad I told you guys this so you guys can stop recommending shows or asking me if I listen to Race Chaser or Sibling Rivalry. We all carry around different stressors, by the way, big, small, serious, silly. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. Can you imagine if I went to therapy with this? And to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have benefited tremendously from therapy. Tremendously. And it's a way for me to work out different problems that I've had. And I've shared those problems with you before. If you have stressors in your life, you need to talk them out. That's how you release the toxicity, is by talking it out. And therapy can help do that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. When they designed it to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you got to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire, and they'll match you with a licensed therapist. And by the way, if you don't like your therapist, you can just switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace. And we are back. Like I said at the top of the show, we actually recorded this part first. And I'm not going to even try and edit it in a way. I'm probably sure I could that you guys don't know that. But to make my life easier, Robert and I are just going to throw now to me in the past, but it's really the future, maybe the present. And so here we go. The panel talking about RuPaul's Drag Race. So we're letting everyone in right now at the same time. Hello.
Hello. All
right. Hi, everyone. Here's what we're going to do. Robert and I decided, Robert was the nice one. I'm going to be honest with you. Robert was the one who decided that you guys should come in early and shouldn't have to wait for me and him to talk for 15 minutes. So everyone should thank Robert right off the bat.
Well, it was never going to be 15 minutes. It would probably be like an hour, and they'd just be chilling, like, filing their nails. Yeah. They got shit to do. Life to live. Yeah.
See, I didn't know if they heard. See, if they heard us in the green room, which is so dumb, why can't they hear or see us in the green room? Then they wouldn't feel so left out. But anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to bring you on one at a time. Say hi. That way, don't overwhelm the audience. I'm just going to start I'm going to start with the easiest name to say. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to start with Scott. Hello, Scott. Oh, by the way, Robert suggested you should have like a workroom entrance line.
Oh, gosh, a workroom entrance line. Okay.
And I said, I mean, that's mean to put him on the spot like that. And Robert was like, I don't care.
I was going to say, I'm thinking something like namaste, you stay. Just between us.
We
girls,
have a yogi so. In the house.
We have a yogi in the house. All right. Well, Scott, welcome. What part of the country are you in?
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Robert. I live in San Francisco.
Oh, Robert used to live in the Bay Area, correct, Robert?
Yeah, where in San Francisco?
I live in DuBose. It's right above the Mission District.
Of course.
Oh, she knows DuBose.
Both.
Is that a joke?
No, I was asking. Okay.
You used your joke Scott. Tone for that.
Scott, this is what I have to deal with every single time. I just say something. But welcome. Thank you, Scott, for being here. We're gonna talk to you a bunch. All right, now we're going to go to the Lexley's hardest one to say. I'm going to assume it's Najima. Am I wrong?
It's Najima.
Najima. You know what's so funny? Go ahead.
Najma is actually, it's a derivative of the name Najma. So it means the same thing. It is Najima. The same kind of Arabic name.
Yeah, where are you coming to us from, Najima?
Najima, yeah.
Yeah, where are you coming to us from?
Comes from Najma.
No, but what part of the country are you coming from right now?
Oh, am I from? I'm from Tucson, Arizona. From the desert.
Tucson, Arizona.
I just started sweating.
Robert, you seem to know about everything about every place in the world. What do you know about Tucson?
I know that I thought it was pronounced Tuscan. That's
no,
it.
She did not.
Not until this moment, just when I was young.
Oh.
Younger.
Usually people know about Paul McCartney and the Beatles song.
Yes. Yes. Get Back. The song Get Back. Something from Tucson, Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm black. I grew up listening to Marvin Gaye, so I didn't hear that song until I was well into Tucson, adulthood. Arizona. But I do know he pronounced the town's name right, so.
Yeah. Well, he got that on me, I guess.
Have you always lived in Tucson?
I have, but I have a passport. I have traveled. I'm not strictly a desert dweller.
Yeah. Yeah.
I only say that because people's assumptions about Arizona just that we all have guns and that none of us can read. It's not true.
Do you have guns?
We don't all have guns. And I'm one of five that can read.
Well, they're good. We're somewhere. And now why don't we go? Okay. I'm just going to say right now. Robert, do you want to give a crack?
I feel like I would have been fine if you didn't hype it up like this, Joe. And now I feel like I'm not going to stand in the line of fire. It's on you. You go.
I'm going to say Ram Charan.
It's pretty close, actually. It's Ram Charan.
It's what?
It's Ram Charan.
Yeah, is that okay. There's room for everybody, I guess. Ram Charan.
What the fuck does that mean?
I don't even know. I just wanted to quote that. What part of the country are you coming to us from?
So I'm not from the United States. I am from India.
Oh, whoa! An international queen is here. Then I wouldn't know anything from India. Robert might, because he's a global
Can
star.
You stop?
Ram Charan, what part of India are you from?
I'm from the southern part of India. I'm not sure if you've heard of Hyderabad, I guess. Have you heard of it?
No. Robert, have you heard of this place? You know everything.
Probably.
I have not. I confess.
What would we know from this city? What would we know?
Well, it's kind of considered the IT hub of India. Like, a lot of companies in US outsource their IT work to this city.
Interesting.
That you would have heard.
Interesting.
I mean, let me ask you this question. What city in India would you have heard of? Like, do you know any city in India? Mumbai, Delhi.
Mumbai, Delhi. Wait. Now I sound like a really stupid American. Robert, do you have other cities in India?
Not at the moment.
No. Wait, where's the Taj Mahal
I didn't realize I was being
quizzed.
Where's that
at? Where's Taj Mahal at? No. I feel like it's in a one-word city. And it's like a name or something.
Yeah, it's Agra.
Thank you. It's Agra.
Yeah.
I told you. Robert, I was right.
Violet Chachki was recently here and she... Yeah.
You know, go ahead. Violet Chachki was there. What happened?
No, she was in Mumbai and Delhi. She did a show in Mumbai and Delhi. So those are the two main cities where if anybody comes, they just go to those cities.
Have you ever seen a drag girl live?
Yeah, I did. She's not. I don't even know her name. I assume she's a drag queen.
Yeah. Wait, you assume she's a drag queen?
So it was like a little bit far from me, and she had a lot of makeup on, so I'm assuming it was a drag queen. Because it's kind of like a niche here, or an obscure thing, so they just have one in like a very variety show of random girls dancing.
Yeah, sure. All right, well, why don't we get right into the show? We're going to start with Roberta Mata to start a little pace here. Robert, did you have any hot takes on this episode? Any hot Roberto Mata takes on what happened this episode? What did give us the tea?
Season 16?
Season 16, episode 13, Drag Race Live Makeovers.
Yeah, call me crazy. This is a hot
you're crazy.
Take. Thanks.
You're crazy.
But, oh my God, this sounds so vile, and I'm sorry for it, but I think Q's clown makeup has, like, triggered something in my fight or flight. I think I just don't care for all-white, Perreault-style facial makeup. I don't think I really cared for it on Got Mick or Danny Beard or when Sasha Velour did the very direct Perreault-inspired thing. I just don't... What about it is just not the vibe for me, Joe. I don't get it. Help me.
No, I think you're actually helping me because people... I've talked to friends and I have said I don't like Q's anything on this episode. I felt she should have been up against Morphine or Saphira. And I was like, they were like, no, it was great. It was fantastic. And I think you've helped me articulate what it was I didn't like about it.
It just felt, I thought Nathan gave a really good critique about how Morphine just hid the hulking man who was her partner. Yeah. And similarly, I think Q in over-designing and, but also somehow artistically pulling away from how freakish or great clown makeup can be. And then just sort of put it all on this person, and it has absolutely, like almost all of Q's drag, no artistic point of view that's directly linked to her or her experience, so it just didn't connect. Nothing about it connected. So I just sat there being, I mean, obviously I'm coming from a very common perspective right now, which is I just don't care for this queen, and when you did that whiny imitation of her on the recap today, I have to say I fell out. That was very good, Joe.
Thank you. Najima, did you have any thoughts on what Robert just said or any of your own takes here on the episode?
There's something about Q, honestly. She gives me, like, she's gotten in trouble for saying, calling a person of color a colored person. She has, like, a... there's like a nervousness to her that you see. And her kind of her her white girl... She tried to keep it hidden, but it's bursting out at the seams, you know? I agree. Like she's a great designer, but I don't know that she's a great conceptual artist. Other than that one really great coat this season, I've thought, look that she wore, a lot of it was just a bra and a corsety panty over a body stocking, but she did that before. She did that also on her big that episode she won. I would have given it to Nymphia, and I don't understand why Q wasn't in the bottom, to be honest, because she's not going to win. I don't.
I'll tell you why she wasn't in the bottom, because they knew that either one of them would send her home, and they want to keep her going on. Scott, what did you have to say about what Najima said?
So I agree. I was a little curious while watching the episode to see, okay, are they going to put Q in the bottom against Saphira, who was clearly the worst? Because they did have that little bit of a rivalry of, you know, the week before saying you didn't deserve your win. Now's the perfect chance for producers to put Q in the bottom. And so when Q turned the corner and she was wearing that oversized, colorful look, I thought, okay, it's a sure, you know, it's a great look. But every season there are queens who get red for, you can tell they packed something that's kind of a one size fits all. Yeah. Just a splashy look you can throw in anybody. And there have been seasons like Gigi Good got kind of noted on that. And so I kind of thought Q might be red for that or be called out and told, okay, you know, you looked great, but you didn't contour your makeover partner. You just put a white stamped face on her and drew some squiggly eyebrows. And we saw that with Sasha Velour and Got Mick and Danny Beard.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to me that she wasn't put in the bottom for that. It also kind of would have been a gag because everyone was assuming that Morphine would go home this week. And just imagine the beginning of next week's episode. They walk in the workroom and then Q, who won two challenges, is now gone. And Morphine's still sitting there with no win. Like she was saying all episode, how am I going to get into the top four? I'm really shocked producers didn't do that.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe you should be a producer, Scott. Ramsaran, what do you want to say to all this?
I agree that Q's look was... I mean, so I think I have two thoughts on this. One is, this has been like one of the makeover challenges that has been very different since the last four or five, which were mostly making over a dainty person. This was the one where they actually had to make over a burly man. So in the last few ones that we had seen, it was more about the concept of the family resemblance. But this one was about the transformation. I think Q was in between and the judges had to save one person who had a concept. So I think they put Q aside because she was the only one with a concept, where the others were judged based on their transformation because they had no concept, more or less. And I agree with the same critics that Q, I mean, to an extent, I feel Nymphia also had the amorphous blob that you guys were talking about, where you just put everybody in a, you know, Q had the coat. Even Nymphia also had a corset, but it was like covered in feathers. And even that was like kind of shapeless. It could have fit in anybody, and it helped that Jonathan was the most, like the lean fit guy among all the other guys. So I think Nymphia looked better. But I think there was very little transformation in Nymphia also. Whereas in Morphine...
I was going to say, because for the audience, Jonathan was Nymphia's partner, but go ahead.
Yeah, Jonathan. So Jonathan looked the daintiest, so I think it fit well for him.
Morphine,
I would love to say that her mug, the mug of, what was this guy, Luna, Latina, is so good. But I have the same arms critic, and I thought he kind of looked like the General Lee from Mulan with the very short, flat hair. But the face was painted.
But don't you think, I think I saw this either online, but that she could have just thrown like a boa on her guy. She was with Miguel, right? She could have done something to sort of balance it out, to proportionize.
Bitches love suggesting boas. Like, boas are the solutions to the world's problems. Everyone said the same last season, too.
Okay, I wanted to say, not a boa. What do you want to say what she Robert could have proportionized, said? But a boa they'd have read her for, because it would have looked silly and cheap. But if she had done something to build out the shoulders or done a shoulder, I think that but when you look at Morphine herself or their self, they're not great at proportions for themselves. You know, they're constantly either having hair that's too big or too small or too flat, or, you know, that 80s look that was, who knows what decade that that outfit actually was from, but it wasn't the 80s. You know, it's just the thing with Morphine.
Yeah.
There's like a disconnect with Morphine. So I'm not surprised, but I still say that, I don't know, her transformation, I really thought she was going to bring it. I thought they were setting her up for the win. I was like, oh, this is Morphine's episode. Yeah. This is where she finally gets her badge. And then it didn't happen. So yeah. I was I was sad for her.
Scott, jump in, Scott. We'll come back right to you when I'm sat on. Scott, what do you have to say about this?
If Morphine presented the way she did, you know, with her muscly man, and it cut to the judges, and Michelle said something like, you know what, he's got big shoulders, but we don't care because you two sold it. You two had so much fun up there, or something to that effect. Then that would negate any sort of dialogue about, you know, needing a boa or needing to hide it or something. There have been times where people have had partners where there is a physical difference and the judges are like, but we don't care. You were so great. And it just seems like they didn't want to do that to Morphine because they were ready to let her go. Or even when Morphine first walked onto to the main stage herself, she could have raised up her arm and posed like some muscular man or something, kind of make a joke of it. Like, me and my sister, isn't she so buff? Look at me trying to be just as muscly too. Or there's so many ways you could put a spin on it.
Yeah, Ramcharan, you were itching to jump in there, Ramcharan. What do we want to say?
No, I think her cardinal sin was just leaving it there. Like, she did not paint the hands. She did not try to do anything to the hands. The hands were just bare and, like, no makeup. I mean, not to be Jeffrey Boyer Chapman over here, but she did not put a foundation or nothing on her hands. The same thing I thought was kind of ugly with Q as well. Like, she painted the middle, but not the neck or any other part of the face. So I think that draws you out of the illusion, and which is very, like, grating for the judges to look at. And maybe they put her in the bottom for that.
Now, Robert, you are a mega analyst of RuPaul's Drag Race. Before we go to the next topic, what do you think of everything they just said? Do you have any critiques of what they said? Do you want to challenge them? Do you have anything you want to add to what they said
before we move on?
No, actually, I think everyone's clearly well-researched and knows their shit. I'm so happy that more people are as strangely obsessed with the show as we are, you know?
They know what? Look, they pay more attention than I do. Like, I don't know what they're talking about. I'm like, what?
So
Robert, I want to hear your thoughts. Because the other big moment, because this is actually kind of a nothing burger episode, but the other big moment was this lip sync. Now, I have a whole podcast where I talk about what I thought. But Robert, what did you think? Mata this for us. Tell us what you thought of the lip sync.
Well, first of all, we can circle back to this, but I thought the other big moment was T.S. Madison's critique and the ensuing firestorm around it. A very interesting thing.
We'll talk about that now, and then we'll go to the lip sync.
Well, I was going to say to that effect that I was actually rather enjoying T.S. Madison this episode, and I think it's the first time I've seen her as a judge on the panel, and I've like remembered things that she said, if that makes sense. She's been around a while as a rotating member, and I never connected with her, but this episode, I really enjoyed her. And then all of a sudden, this is the episode that the whole crowd wants to pile onto her and, like, you know, try to come for blood. And it's like, it's even if the critique wasn't entirely warranted, it's also just one tiny minor critique. Like, why does that merit that kind of vicious response? I don't get it. And now I'm a T.S. Madison fan, so now I'm doubly
you know why? Because you're a contrarian. But you know, why don't we do this really quickly? Because I want to get to the lip sync. Really quickly, let's go around the horn and see what people have to say about what you said. Scott, what do you think about what Robert just said?
I think the whole conversation about the wearing yellow on the runway a million times, like, that was never really a thing on the show. That was just chatter among fans on Reddit and podcasts and Twitter and all that. I think it's fair when you have a guest judge, especially a rotating guest judge, that says, you know, I've only been here a couple of times, but this is the second or third time I've seen the same, you know, color or silhouette or whatever from you. Any other episode, any other contestant, I think it would have just been taken as just a simple critique. But, you know, people on Reddit have nothing better to do than turn it into something dramatic. But that's what, you know, that's why we're here.
Ramcharan, jump in here. What do you think about this whole T.S. Madison drama?
I thought T.S. Madison looked very pretty in this episode, better than
that's true.
She's ever looked. I mean, there was something different about her dressing this. Every time she shows a lot of cleavage, but I think she did not show this time, and she looked even better. Regarding the drama, I mean, they'll find any reason to hate on a judge if it's about their fan favorite contestant. So I don't have much to say about that.
I actually don't know what the ensuing. I remember what T.S. Madison said on the show, but I don't know what the ensuing drama was.
Okay. No, I'll tell you. So maybe there's a lot of people like you. So what happened was, right after the episode aired, a lot of the fans, like Scott said on Reddit and Twitter, were pointing out that, you know, because T.S. Madison said, you know, every time I've been here, you've worn yellow. And so they jump. I don't know how they remember this shit, but they point out that the last time she was there, Nymphia specifically wore red. And they were saying, well, what do you mean? The last time you were here, she wore red. Now, then someone else came up with the fact, and I guess there were two looks that episode. And on one of the looks in that episode, she did wear yellow, and she also wore the reds. But they were coming for T.S. Madison, and she was fighting with them, and they were going back and forth. It was a whole thing. But if you didn't know about it, it's not that big of a deal. It's such a nerdy social media.
It's the kind
drama.
Of thing that I, you know, I'm a Gen Xer. I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me. Like,
yeah.
People have opinions. They can have all the opinions they want. You can also just ignore their opinions completely, especially on something that petty. Like, that's a petty point.
Yeah.
I would like to hope that, not to say I haven't gotten in my fair share of social media squabbles, but I just would hope that I hope that T.S. Madison can, you know, spend her energy on things that are more worthwhile. And, you know.
All right, very good. Robert, tell us your lip sync hot take.
Yeah. Firstly, I don't appreciate your, what's the term? Hand waving away of all my opinions as contrarianism, Josito. I told you about that logical, cyclical trap. I actually thought that Safira did win the lip sync, even though I thought Morphe did very well also. I don't think Safira killed the lip sync, but I think she did perfectly fine to stay. As I said several weeks ago, it's not a battle between two people. It's your individual chance to impress RuPaul and convince him that you can stay. You know? And that's what happened.
Look, I'm not going to say shit until after the break when I can fight with you one-on-one. I want to let these people have their say. But I disagree with you vehemently.
Of course you do.
But I'm sorry, why don't we start off with you? We haven't started off with you yet. What do you have to say to what Robert just said?
I think Morphine won the lip sync, but I agree. Yes. I get his point that...
No, you don't.
Thank you.
I love these isms. Where I think Simone also has one when she just looks at the camera and does this. Safir also has isms, which RuPaul likes. And if she just does that, RuPaul doesn't care about the rest of the lip sync. So I think
I see what you're saying. Safir played in. Okay, what do you think about this, Najima?
I mean, I have mixed feelings, right? Because you're right. Safir didn't kill it. She could have killed it, but she didn't. It was like she was reserving her energy for something else. She was really slow, and Morphine was really giving it. But if it comes down to it, I'm Safir for the win for me. So if it was between Morphine and Safira to stay, I'm going to go with Safira, even though I don't think that was her best lip sync. I think she did better in just the soul music challenge. In her 3 seconds in the soul music challenge, she showed more charisma than she did in that entire lip sync, I think. Yeah.
Scott?
Yeah, it's RuPaul's world and we're just living in it. Like Robert said, it's the lip sync for your life. I've always agreed. It's not a true whoever wins this gets to stay. It's this is your last chance to impress RuPaul. Safira has impressed RuPaul like a ton the whole season. RuPaul doesn't need her to show her a whole bunch to warrant her staying, whereas Morphine's been mediocre all season. So she's got to do something out of this world. And I'm also a bit of a conspiracy theorist. I can also be a contrarian, too. So, Robert, you know, I got your back on this.
I'm not a contrarian.
Oh, my God.
What could a contrarian would say?
You're just contrarian right now.
Oh, again, there is no other option. So it's a logical trap.
Sure. But I'm also, I always think, I always like to think one or two episodes ahead. And as you've touched upon before, as it's kind of, you know, common knowledge now that they already have filmed the finale and such because of the writer's strike. They wanted just to get the whole season wrapped up. But I kind of think of, for example, there was no way they're going to send Safira home, but they could have put Q in the bottom against Safira. Clearly Safira would have sent her home, but then you're heading into a top four, potentially at the top four that's going to lip sync for the crown. And we saw that season 10 with Cameron Michaels, where they're like, well, whatever, she's won lip syncs and hasn't impressed us any other way. But then before you know it, she's in the finale and Asia O'Hara has her butterfly mishap and Cameron Michaels is almost facing a top two placement. So I think that producers are always thinking an episode or two ahead and they're like, okay, well, let's save Q because we know she's not going to win any sort of lip sync as we approach the crown. We got to get that lip sync assassin out of here. She's been in the bottom half the season. As long as Safira does just okay and we can edit around any little tumble, show her, you know, giving face, like Ninjima said, you know, she has that that presence. Oh no, I'm sorry, that was Ramchand that said that. Kind of like Simone has that kind of a trademarked look into the camera. As long as she gave producers two of those, then she was golden.
All right, very good. All right, well, before we call it a day, why don't we go around the horn really quickly? Is there any, like, first of all, I have two questions for you. We'll start with Najima. I mean, sorry, Najima. I don't know why I said Najima. We'll start with Najima. Is there anything you want to say about this episode, about the entire season of RuPaul's Drag Race? And on top of that, were you nervous talking in front of Robert Mata, who is very famous?
I'm so friendly.
I was more nervous.
That's what I'm saying.
About having, like, electrical mishaps, like, I couldn't get my headphones working.
Well, you're in Tucson,
I had to dig out the old microphone. Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was. I was mostly nervous about that. This season, I've been watching Drag Race since it started. Like, since I used to have to go to my grandma's house to watch it on her cable back in the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, because she had Logo. Yeah.
And I.
What an ally.
Yeah. I'll always love it, but will it ever be the show I fell in love with again? No, I don't think it will be. I think you've got more chances of finding that in some of the overseas, like Philippines. I don't know. Everybody said this last season of Philippines wasn't good, but it had me crying. So, yeah. So I feel like the thing. I love Drag Race. I want some of what we used to have. I want it to be less about having perfect polished looks and more about having charisma and more about having that it factor that it used to be about, you know?
Very good. Ramcharan, give us your hot... First of all, were you nervous talking to Robert Mata?
Oh my God.
Do you have any hot takes on the whole season?
I think Robert made it easier for us by not turning on his camera.
If my camera's on, then my auto quality suffers. Auto. Audio.
Yeah. I think Ramcharan said if your camera's on. Well, turn it on for a second. Okay. Give Ramcharan. Oh,
so handsome.
I can turn it on. Thanks, y'all. I'm just sweating. Ever since I heard about Tucson, I've been sweating.
Yeah,
what's up with that?
I think ever since Ramcharan complimented you, you've been sweating.
Girl, I'm leaving.
Is Robert your type, Ramcharan?
Yeah, actually, I've had a crush on Robert for the longest time.
Oh, you've had a crush on Robert for the longest time? Oh, so you nervous coming on today?
Well, I'm not nervous in front of my crushes, but this is kind of a lure. I don't know if you remember, but in the older episodes of your podcast, you did not used to mention Rob's Instagram. So I did a very deep search to find his Instagram, but then later he started mentioning it.
There are only like 5 pictures on there.
Well, maybe
and they're from 2012.
Yeah. Well, now you got to see him in the flesh, Ramcharan.
No, you have to use Grindr Explore West Hollywood, and you'll be able to find my account fairly easily. I'm addicted, so it's like I'm probably online now.
Do you have
now.
One of those like accounts that you can unlock, Robert? You have like the dirty pics or like your vault or whatever they call it.
I think that's how didn't Jax work like that? Oh no, now there are albums.
Yeah, albums.
Yeah, but anyways, let Ramcharan speak on other topics more important.
So regarding the season, I'm loving this season. I love Plain Jane. Mm-hmm. I think Plain Jane is like one of the more interesting contestants who has been pushed by production. Usually she would have been given the Lucy LaRuca edit, but I'm loving that they are not giving that this season. And they're kind of pushing ideally they would have pushed Dawn this season, but I'm loving that they are not. So this season is trying something different in terms of sending Plasma home early, letting Maya stay that long, and giving Plain Jane and Safira the hero, like the good edit. So I think that's interesting this season, and I like that this year.
All right, very good. All right, then Scott, bring it home.
I've also really been enjoying this season. I think it's a great cast. I think the challenges have been fun. Importantly, RuPaul seems engaged most of the episodes. But I'll share the same sentiment that compared to older seasons, the queens that don't have that perfect polish, like an Adore Delano or a Chichi Devane, you know, their personality and their drive and their humor. And, you know, of course, there's so much more to any sort of entertainment, but there's so much more to drag than just what you can pack in a suitcase. And not to discount queens like Safira, who have a suitcase full of great looks, but also have the charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, I would say. But yeah, it is, everyone is almost like kind of too good for their own good in a way. I mean, you're always going to have your booger queens that, you know, are going to only last a couple episodes, but there used to be that, I think I actually saw people were kind of trying to compare this season to season six, saying that Safira is the Bianca because she's just steamrolling. Nymphia is the Courtney because she's just perfectly polished, not really making any waves. And I'm like, you know, first of all, comparing queens, it's a little reductive. But, you know, you think back to like season six, Adore Delano, she was in the bottom just as much as Morphine. But everyone was like, oh, she's my pick to be a winner, because it wasn't specifically about the track record. It wasn't specifically about all those extras. And I think there is a little bit of magic that's lost from the show in that regard. But yeah, all in all, I think it's a great season. I wish Q maybe wasn't on next week. But besides that.
But I think you missed the important question, Scott, which was, were you nervous to talk to Robert?
Girl, you didn't ask him that. He doesn't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, if it was like Christian Ochoa, I would have to censor myself more. No, I'm just joking. Not to be a contrarian.
You don't have to be joking. I have to.
No, I wasn't nervous. And Joe, I mean, I've listened to the podcast for years, and I've DM'd you a million times with my conspiracy theories and my hot takes. Yeah. And, you're obviously, of course, you're very engaging. And sometimes you're like, no, that doesn't make sense. And so I love that dynamic as well. So I wasn't afraid to come on and chat.
All right. Very good. All right. Well, guys, thank you guys so much for being here. We're going to wrap up the show today right here. What are you guys going to How are you going to spend the rest of your day? What time is it there right there where you live in India, Ramcharan?
It's 6 a.m. in the morning. So I just
oh, my God. Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
And I want everyone to know, too, Najima has been the vaping queen the entire episode.
I have been cackling silently with every pull. It is so funny.
She has been making clouds.
I can't help it.
The entire time.
Because I make out with guys that are like 26 and 27. What flavor is it? They're always leaving their vapes at my apartment. They got me hooked.
Oh, no, ma'am. Are you, it looks like you're bouncing on the dick right now. Wow, vaping. Get it, girl.
And Scott, how are you going to spend the rest of the day, Scott?
I think I'm going to head out to happy hour because it's only 6 p.m. almost 6 p.m. here on the West Coast. So, probably the Edge.
Ah, the Edge. Oh,
yeah, I have a pouch full of tokens for their 2-for-1 drinks. So I just
I love that.
Grab a handful of those and go have a good time.
Robert, well, enjoy the Castro.
Oh, I just stopped it by accident. Sorry. What are you going to do there, Robert?
Well, I'm going to do the second half of the show with you, Mama.
I know. We're going to. Yeah. Guys, Robert's giving away the secrets.
You're switcherooing?
I didn't know that. Switcherooing, but they don't know this yet. Well, they know, they hear, but like, well, now the audience, well, the end shows up. Guys, we're doing the first half that you heard earlier. We're doing it after this. So I don't know what's going to happen on there. But you're all going to hear about it right here on Real Alaska Thoughts. We'll see you guys next time. Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
I'm going to stop this recording, actually. All right. This is after the show now. This is after the show. The show is over.
This is the appendix? Epilogue?
This is the appendix. As soon as we ended to go to this panel, Robert goes, I did have thoughts about UK versus the World 2 that I didn't say. And I was like, what? Okay.
Well, we started talking about such icons as Venus Delight, and how am I going to focus on UK versus the World 2 when Venus Delight is in the conversation?
Okay, so Robert, go through your notes. Be a completist. Because yeah. Robert made the good point. He can never return to this because we're done with it.
Yeah, no. So UK versus the World 2 is done. I would give it a solid 8.5 out of 10, which is really? A pretty good rating for me. Yeah. I know. But again, I love these crossovers. Even if they're not the greatest in execution, the concept alone will tickle me all the way to the end of the season.
All right.
But let me just run off some things. So one of them is that every time they do an international season, they bring back all the girls. And most unfortunately for my eardrums, we're forced to listen to the horrible song known as Bring Back My Girls. And I would like to make a formal request to the universe to delete the master, delete the whole fucking song. I never want to hear the song Bring Back My Girls again.
Okay,
even though I love when they bring back the girls.
I'm interrupt here. It's not my favorite song at all. But
I hate it.
I have other RuPaul songs that I would put way before Bring Back My Girls.
Oh, Peanut Butter. Let's delete Peanut Butter. Let's delete Response to Tranity. Let's delete Tranny Chaser. Delete. There's this one they used on Drag Race Thailand all the time, and I cannot remember what the song is because I never play the lyrics, but the sound of it is horrible. It's as bad as Q's voice.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a number of songs I would put before. You know what I hate actually is I'm not even sure this is a song. It's just Michelle and RuPaul talking to a track of Tent Across the Board.
Well, is Q one? The Sniper a song?
I wrote it.
I thought Jay wrote it.
Wait, what? Jay who?
Ellis, I thought you said he wrote the lyrics probably a month ago.
Oh, I think that was a joke.
Oh, well, you know, sometimes I can't tell.
He suggested some lyrics that I sang that.
Okay.
That
episode. For that verse.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, I was the one who first suggested Q the Sniper as the song.
You are. Because I was like, we need to do a song. What's the name of this song? And you said Q the Sniper. You're right.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Co-writing credit for Robert Mata.
Thank you. Thank you. So I would like to use my co-writing credit to say, delete the fucking Bring Back My Girls. I never want to hear it again. Know that whenever that song comes on, I'm cringing home.
Was there been a song from RuPaul that you hated at first but then grew to love?
Probably Glamazon.
Okay.
That song is the moment. And also, this is the beginning of the rest of July. I listen to it every July 4th.
You know what song grew on me was, what's the one from season 7 finale? The
Born Naked, the remix?
Oh, no, they can get rid of that one. No.
Oh, I love the remix. It's pumping.
I don't know if I know the remix. No, I'm talking about the one that the realness. I think the realness.
Oh, I love the realness. I think that's like my favorite RuPaul song, actually, apart from maybe New Friends Silver, Old Friends Gold.
Wait, what's New Friends Silver? You know what? We can't
it was
do it today,
the runway song for All Stars 8. And that was the song of champions, mama. I'm going to listen to it later.
We're going to have to do a RuPaul music retrospective.
We should do a bracket of RuPaul songs.
We came this... I mean, I don't think that there's ever been anything closer. Like, in other words, I have to talk about being close. Like, Scarlett Harlot being a co-host, that got close.
Thank God, because I cannot with that one. That's on the Brad Cringe season.
Gia Gunn was almost on the show, but no. But the one thing that came very close, I was already writing scripts for the episodes. Lucian Piani, RuPaul Music Retrospective.
Wow.
It was when he was in, remember he like had the downfall, then he was in rehab, and then he slid again.
Yeah.
It was in that weird rehab period where he was sober again.
Like 2017-ish?
Yeah, around there. And we have a mutual friend, and he was interested but he didn't want to be asked about it. So I said, listen, come on, you know what? Well, my whole thing was I'll gain his trust and then ask about it. Right.
And ask about like, what the addiction problems or
the
his
drug
dick
things
size
that he did
or
with his, you know, his AD
why he called
dick
RuPaul.
And
yeah. Yeah.
And, but I genuinely was interested in him coming on and going over just, you know, almost like an Inside the Actor Studio, but for his songs that he wrote for the show.
Yeah.
And he was even going to come on, too. It was very close as well. He would chicken out. He was almost going to be a co-host, a guest co-host for the Kardashian the Musical episode, which would have been iconic as well. But
it would have elevated an otherwise milquetoast episode, I think.
Yeah. So anyway, okay, what are your other thoughts on UK versus the world too?
Yeah, so I'm going to run through these, but we'll see if everyone instigates conversation. So they did a reunion. I don't know if you know this because you didn't watch the episode. But
I didn't watch the episode.
They rarely do reunions on the main stage, and Michelle was hosting it. And even though I can see the gears turning in her hostess head, and she would cut people off so that she could get someone else, which she has to do. She was not quite as artistic about it as maybe she could be. So that's an interesting
how was I on this panel discussion?
Down under. You were a degree, three degrees higher than Michelle was. I could still see the intention when you cut across someone to speak to someone directly, but I know that it has to happen. There's just sometimes a more artful way of doing so.
All right, go on.
Yeah. But on the whole, I think Michelle still did well, and I think you did well as well, Mama. Mm-hmm. So pat yourself on the back.
You're a contrarian, so maybe I didn't do well.
Oh, my God. Someone else will tell you. And when they agree with me, don't be surprised. But the reunion that they did on the show, all of these queens, they clearly have grown to have a rapport with each other because they were biting back. Like, especially John Burrs and Tia Coffee, they got into a spat about Pixie Polite, Tia Coffee's ex. Not like a really dramatic spat, but there was a good volley of reads. And
because Pixie was on John Burrs' season, correct?
Uh-huh, and they did not get along, and it became a matter of conversation, which even when they mentioned it, I was kind of surprised that they made something that personal, like television content. But I was glad they did, because I think it gave Tia Coffee a chance to shine on her quick wit in a setting that doesn't feel manufactured, even though, you know, it's hyper manufactured. But the reunion felt more real. It felt like an early season reunion. And as you know, and as Najima knows, because we just spoke with her, that is where the best content from the Drag Race franchise is. So I love that reunion. I thought they had a great time. Arantxa was being her crazy effervescent self, and she won Miss Congeniality. I don't know if you know that. Yeah. So Spain has a Miss Congeniality in the bucket, which is great, because this is the first time Drag Race Spain has any representation on a international RuPaul adjacent show, or RuPaul hosted show, I should say. And I'm happy for that. And then you missed probably one of the better moments of the episode, which is, even though it's doused in tragedy, Marina getting eliminated, she tells RuPaul, do the Marina. And there's a really great bit of editing where it builds the tension instantaneously, and the camera pans to Ru, and you're not sure if she's going to do it. And then she does it. And it's just so gratifying. It's such a great capstone to Marina's journey. And you know we're going to see that bitch soon.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be on an All-Stars. But wait, now I'll go watch. But I can imagine Ru crushing that.
Ru actually didn't do too good of a job.
Oh, really?
But the nerve of telling RuPaul to do something and then have her do it, and especially with, you know, RuPaul's positioned very deliberately with that camera that we don't see any kind of angle or curvature of that face. So to have RuPaul literally move her face, which exposes a lot of the tape and wiring, it was just so cool. And the editing was done so well that I don't think I felt a swell of like triumph for someone in the same way that I felt for Marina in that moment, because that just must have been so gratifying. I thought it was really sick. And then the lip sync happened, and I thought they were having a great time, and I was having a great time. And what's better than having a great time with your favorite stupid little TV show?
Were you under any kind of influence while you were watching the show?
No, girl, I was literally just in bed. What was I eating? I think I was just eating Chipotle. Although I have not ended my war with my local Chipotle. But who cares about that?
You're at war with your local Chipotle?
Yeah, they never have steak, and I've fucking had it.
Because they run out, or they just don't have it?
Because I think the manager is an incompetent sack of shit and doesn't know how to order basic food materials. Sometimes they don't have rice or fajitas.
But and why do I feel... I don't know why we're getting this conversation, but why do I feel like at a Chipotle-style restaurant, it's beyond the manager. It's computerized. It knows, and it just tells
their franchises. So someone is not ordering the right amount of food for their franchise, and I'm on it, Mama. I'm detective casing this. I'm at war.
Well, guys, that's the end of your special.
I have one more thing, actually.
Oh. Okay.
And this was, I think, a really cute thing that I haven't seen commentary on. But when Tia Coffey was eliminated in season 2, she said, "Are you sure?" And RuPaul laughed, and everyone laughed because it was funny, and it was nervy, and it was cute, and it was a great way for Tia Coffey to exit. There was a really good bookend at the end of this episode where when RuPaul said, "Tia Coffey, you're the winner of the season," she said, "Are you sure?" And it was a very blink and you miss it moment. And if you didn't remember that small moment, why would you connect those two moments? But I thought it encapsulated her journey on Drag Race so well, so perfectly. I don't think I could have written it better. So even if the lip sync wasn't amazing, brilliant, yes, Marina definitely deserved to win as well. I am happy to be putting out some congratulations Tia Coffey energy because the internet is not letting that breathe right now. So fuck y'all, she won.
All right, very good. Well, that, I believe, was the end of the appendix of this episode.
Well, also, she dabbed when she left, and I hate dabbing. Why the fuck do people dab?
We'll see you guys next week. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring the show. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/dragrace.